Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise God. So we're talking on futuring. This is part five. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because your word is true, your word is life, your word brings illumination to the simple. We receive your word this morning with meekness. We declare that the truth we're going to hear today will bear them in heart. I will bring forth fruit of righteousness. And the church says a big
amen.
So, futuring, part five. And I said, futuring is a field of using a systematic process for thinking about, picturing possible outcome, and planning for the future. That's according to encyclopedia.com. Now, I want to just share something very simple with you today. And I want to start on this note, that the future belongs to those who are extremely useful. And you see, the future belongs to those that are extremely useful. And because the needs and the troubles and the challenges of man continues to mutate with increasing advancement in technology, it therefore, there is a requirement for you to also upgrade. It's a requirement for you to also upgrade in your usefulness. Now, your divine calling is spiritual. Your divine calling is spiritual. But you see, you would manifest in the physical world. A physical world that is ever changing. So, you have to pay attention with keeping abreast with facts and getting in touch with your immediate environment of influence where God will be using you to impact. So, that's why the future is for those who are extremely useful. So, with the present day technological advancements, in that context, your destiny would find expression as much or as long as to the degree in which you have opened up yourself to be extremely useful. So you have to decide to be extremely useful. And when I say I want you to be extremely useful, what I mean is you have to be more cognitive than executive. A time is coming now. This is so important in our contemporary world because whether you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or God is sending you into the business world to do something of remarkable impact, in one way or the other, you'll have to touch base with the reality of your time. And we all know we are in a time where it looks as though there is a phasing away of an era. Dr. Cindy Trim rightly says, the year 2019 and 2021, the difference between them is not 1 year. With COVID, we have seen eruption and disruption in the workspace. You know, this teaching series is primarily designed to help you cast a vision board, to help you to introspect, not just on spiritual things, but even in your earthly endeavor, in your earthly involvement, because even the spiritual, as it may, has an expression in the context of the physical world that you live. So, it is very important that when we talk about destiny, that you don't mix apples and orange together. This is very important. When we talk about destiny, you don't have to mix apples and orange when we talk about destiny. Or when we talk about purpose. You know, contrary to several opinions and several teachings on purpose and several books you could have read about purpose, there are a lot of weird things in God's word about purpose that many don't even realize. For instance, purpose is not unique. You don't have a unique purpose. You see, you only have a definite assignment in purpose. And pay attention to this, so that you can get this message in context, because we're talking about futuring. That means the most important index phrase of conversation or index line of conversation in your future will have to do with your destiny, will have to do with your purpose. And when we talk about purpose, you have to get it clear. You see, whatever it is that you call your purpose, if the explanation of that which you call a purpose does not in any way hold water in the realm of the one that proposed your purpose, then it cannot be your purpose. Don't forget, the very concept of purpose already tells us that there is a creator who proposed for the proposed. And because that is a brilliant logic in the discourse of purpose, it therefore means that purpose actually existed before the proposed. In other words, your purpose lived or existed before you. Now, whatever it is that you are calling purpose must actually be relevant in the realm of the one who made that purpose for you. For instance, the chair you are sitting on was designed by a designer to hold your weight in a particular posture. Now, whatever it is that chair would call purpose must be relevant in the realm of the one who made it, in the realm of human beings. So, if it does not in any way hold water in that realm, then it is not purpose. For example, you cannot say your purpose is being a medical doctor, or your purpose is being, an engineer, or your purpose is being an accountant. That can only be a vehicle to your purpose, or a springboard upon which you launch out the purpose. But in reality, any conversation that you would have with God in heaven that will be so petty in the afterlife can never be purpose. Don't forget, time is created for man. God doesn't live in time. So, and anything that he calls your purpose that will not exceed this earthly realm. Listen, one of the most unfortunate assumptions you would have is to think that when you get to heaven, God is going to ask you, how many houses did you bring? Or, wow, shame on you. So you only built 5 houses? Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to build houses. It's good to have all the good things of life. But your own motive is different from the world's motive. Purpose makes it different. I want to encourage you to go and get this tape, Faith Book of Records. I spoke about it. And because you live in a physical world that is continuously changing, then we have to talk about how to remain relevant and be extremely useful within the context of that purpose we're talking about. I want to read to you Judges 11 and verse 1 to 11. I have just a few more minutes to round off. Judges 11 and verse 1. He says, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an Alot. Look at how the Bible describes him. He was the son of an Alot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if you do not do according to thy word. And last verse. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all these words before the Lord in Mizpeh. So, I just want to draw a few things on touching usefulness. You must be useful with your youthfulness. And do not forget, like I said, within the context of the continuous advancement in technology and the way we live, you must be extremely useful. The future belongs to those who are useful. It makes no difference how many hordes are against you. Like Jephthah now, the reproach of conception was against him. The rejection of his brothers were against him. So, he already has excuses. And I told you, our excuses, I told you last week, they are not permanent or powerful enough to deter us from being all that we need to be for God. Think about it. He was a son of a harlot. So he left. So apparently I can imagine his elder brothers always, you know, make jest of him. Like, this one is a bastard, you know. So he finally left the toxicity of his siblings. Now, so I'm just going to tell you a few things Jephthah did and I close because time is fast spent. What did Jephthah do? You may be in a place right now in your life where it looks like all odds are against you. And the future looks so bleak. The future looks almost dark. Now you pray, you do all you can, but you also know that it is not just only in praying. You know you need to do something. And many times, especially in Africa that we live in, one day I will do a teaching, for example, on the burden of the firstborn. Because in Africa, for example, if you are a firstborn, you have become a surrogate parent automatically. You help your parents take care of their kids. And it doesn't have to be firstborn. You could just be the first person that made it, quote and unquote, in the family. And that's why, you know, one person could actually be doing just a little bit fine because there's a lot of dark. Listen, look up, everybody. The kind of stress in our continent, coupled with the kind of terrible leaders that we have, living in Nigeria, for example, on its own is fate. I mean, you are strong to be in Nigeria. So you don't have to beat yourself so bad, sorrowfully, just because you aren't accomplishing as much as you should. And even when you do, first, let your motive be for the kingdom. Two, I want to share with you, what are the things you think you should do when it looks as though odds are against you? But somewhere you have a flicker of hope that tomorrow is bright. What are you going to do? I want to just draw a few lessons from Jephthah. Like I said, Jephthah had the reproach of his conception. He was a child of a harlot, the Bible tells us. Number two is that he had rejection of his brothers. Now, what were the things Jephthah did? The number one thing Jephthah did was that Jephthah left the toxic brothers to a non-toxic environment. Can I be honest with you? I have found this very consistent, just like we just read in Jephthah's case. He left his toxicity of his brothers in their environment of toxicity and went to a non-toxic place. I've seen this consistently. You can never be productive in a toxic environment. For some people, it's just toxic friends. Things that are causing offense. And then you are losing your soul gradually. Sometimes, perhaps because of what you think you want to get. How do you explain, for example, a young lady, all right, let me paint a picture to you, got a new job in Lagos. Now, she's earning, let's say, 450K per month. And where she's living in the mainland and she works in the island. She's a tech girl. Now, this is actually a similarly true life story, but I just want to, you know, share with you. No names mentioned. And then this neighbor of hers also works in the island. And he says, you know what? Let me just, you know, give you a lift along the way. Then
you know, you get to alight close to your, since our offices aren't too far from each other. Now, if you're not living in Lagos, you will know what, how much of a blessing that is. Now, he picks the lady up every day. They go together. The girl, you know, packs all her lunch, you know, put in her lunch pack, gets ready, all right. Every morning they go together. Week one, week two, week four, week six, until week seven, the guy begins to touch her, you know, inordinately, you know. The guy begins to abuse her against what is supposed to be our own principles. Now, when she thinks about, now it's raining season. Now, when she thinks of, you know, cutting off the guy, she's thinking of how she might probably lose her job because you don't get to the work early. You know, jumping from one, you know that yellow bus in Lagos, you don't get to job early. Now, she will now have to be in between either making a choice to stand by her principle or just choose to follow the tide with the guy. Now, because of attachment, you know, when Jesus says that if your eyes makes you sin, cut it off, that it is better for you to enter into heaven, all right, with one eye than for you to remain in hell with your full body. It's just a teaching in symbolism about certain attachment that is doing you a lot of harm inside, but you refuse to resist because of temporary gain. This sugar daddy abuses you, has sex with you every time, but because he pays your school fees, for some reason, you have developed cold feet to resist evil. Why? And can I be honest with you, like in the case of this lady I'm talking about, she made a point that she's going to stop this with this guy because this guy was already asking to, you know, get in bed with her. And guess what she did? When she stood her place, do you know what happened? Immediately, she began to think on how to buy her own car. She began to save up. That was when she knew she could actually put a call through and get a loan to buy her own car. And in less than 6 months, she got her own car. So it turns out that if she continues that way, it will keep disturbing her. She'll not be productive in the workplace. It can result into her getting query, and more query can result into her getting sacked, can affect her career. Listen, you have to understand that there's a boomerang effect. I'll talk about it in second service. There's a boomerang effect on every actions that you take. So the first step we found with Jephthah was that he left toxic environment. To secure your future, you need a non-toxic ambience that will afford you a deep synthesis of innovative idea. You need a non-toxic environment. And notice what we notice about Jephthah was when he left that toxicity of his brothers, you know, he left that toxic environment, something brilliant he did. When he left to Tob, notice the Bible says some vain men came to him. So he attracted some people. Listen, one of the things I've learned that I've noticed about God is when you are there and you feel like you are in your lowest, if you truly pray and pray and you desire to know the next action and you talk to God, many times God will direct you to a deeper assignment. If that happens to you often, it does with me. It's always God telling you that, look, your excuses, your challenges, your backgrounds, the circumstances around are not enough. Or better still, I have factored them in before designing you for this purpose. Your life is a replay. Have you seen a movie with someone for the second time? That person is watching for the first time, and the individual is like, they won't kill the actor. You say, calm down, just a watch. Why? You've seen it before. So your life is a replay. There is nothing about you that's going to catch God unawares. So be calm. Glory to God. So what he did next was he multiplied himself into broken but willing vessels that identified with him and it transformed them on that small scale, which in turn sharpened his potential and announced him. And this eventually brought him to his destiny. You see, it's so amazing that at the very moment when you feel like you are destitute, looks like you have, you know, need of so many things, can I be honest with you? Those are the moments when you ought to give more. It's just amazing how the kingdom works, contrary to how the world system works. At a time when it looks like you are destitute, looks like you have nothing, that's when there is a demand on you to pour into more people. You see, I have seen this happen with Joseph. I have seen this happen with David. You know, you see, the same thing that happened with Jephthah, when he loved, you know, the same thing that happened with Jephthah, when he left his toxic brothers to a non-toxic environment, where he can synthesize, you know, innovative idea, sharpen his skill, and he began to pour into vain men that came to him. I saw that same trend with Joseph. In the prison, he was interpreting other people's dream, helping other people be all right, see the physical equivalent of their dream. I saw the same thing with David in the cave of Adullam. He went to a non-toxic environment. Guess who came to meet him? Men with 3 D's, depressed. Men who were discontented. And guess what? He did the same thing Jephthah did. He poured himself into them. And they became mighty men of David. Guess what? I saw the same thing with Paul. In an environment of toxicity, the Bible says, all right, Paul was teaching and there were diverse opposition. You know what he did in Acts 19? The Bible says, Paul took a few people who agreed with him and left to a particular house of Tyrannus. There he began to expand. And in few months, the word of God grew mightily in that place. So the first step is you have to know if you're not productive, all right, enough. Maybe you have to properly check out, am I in the company of the right friends? Some people, the kind of seed being sown into you in the community of friends that you're keeping can never make you exceed a certain level. Because guess what? You are the average of the most closest 5 people around you. So I've seen this happen consistently. Look at this. Look at Paul, Acts 19, verse 6. Acts 19, verse 6. Acts 19, verse 6. He says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the grace of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, divers, people who did not agree, and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That means anywhere you see in the book of Acts, you say this way, that way, the way. He's talking about the Christianity way, the faith. Before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. Somebody say disciples. You see, even as a church, sometimes you can receive a vision and you cast a vision before people. If you have 12, there will always be one person that will disagree. Check out Jesus, the most perfect pastor that ever lived. So the wisdom is always to strengthen what remains. Like Jesus told the church in Revelation 13 verse 2. He says, strengthen that which remains. Don't mourn about it. It's so important. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Somebody say space of 2 years. Say it again. So I have seen this consistently in scripture. Jephthah did it. He left the toxic environment of his brothers to a non-toxic place where he can think. You cannot be productive in a toxic environment. The same thing with Joseph. He got into the prison. He began to help people interpret their dreams. You see, once you leave that toxic environment, the next thing is start pouring yourself into other people. The same thing I saw with David. He came to the cave of Adullam, and the people that came to him, just like in Jephthah's case, were vain men. Men that were discontented. Men that were in debt. And guess what? It trained them. There is something about pouring yourself into other people. It's just like when your hands are dirty. Have you ever had dirty hands before? Dainty fingers. And then you are washing your rags. And when you were done washing your rags, what happened to your own fingers too? They get clean. So we get better in making others better. Does that sound like Davido talking? We rise by lifting others. Very true. And guess what? The same thing I found out with Paul in Acts 19. You see, he was preaching within the space of 3-4 months, and divers were added who were speaking against the way, the truth which he was preaching. Guess what he did? He left disciples with him. He took disciples to a particular house of one man called Tyrannus. And guess what he did? He began to expand God's word to them. And guess what? Through that, look, you cannot bring out anything productive in a toxic environment. And the moment you get out of a toxic environment, begin to pour yourself, multiply yourself. With that vision, that thing, that truth, that vision that you know God gave you, all right? Listen, let me show you a 33 seconds video that will help you. Look, many times, it's not just about resources. That's why I tell you, if you are the ones that always experience what I always experience, that are sometimes, quote unquote, I'm usually very afraid to ask God for things. They said our mixer blew up on Tuesday, and I was just there, just meditating and praying. And God will respond to me on Wednesday morning with a flash. He showed me fire. And he says, son, jump in it. And I see, Maraba, Maraba. So I did a meeting with them. Is that true, pastors and ministers? I did a meeting with them. I said, this is what I'm saying. It looks so illogical, but I don't care. This morning when I was coming, he told me he would give me a sign. And I've seen the sign. Because sometimes, I need to let you know, sometimes we are not always pastors with faith all the time too. We had our own doubt too. Listen, you have to know, man of God is a man. Sometimes we have our doubts. So I'm like, God, say the one in me. Like, we need, how do you start something? But can I be honest with you? Every time God speaks to you, take an action immediately. You may not necessarily have to take direct physical action, but do something along the line of fulfilling that thing. Listen, somebody say, what if I fail? Look, let me tell you, your problem is you always think of failing. When it comes to assignment with God, nobody on earth, let me say it again, when it comes to assignment of God, assignment that God gives you, there is nobody on earth that has your score sheet. The only person that can score you is God, and he will do so in the afterlife. And you have to understand something. The moment you subject, quote and unquote, productivity to the proof of authenticity of having heard an instruction from God, you are doomed. Because what you call productivity before God may just be some kind of unwanted growth, swelling, not growth. So you see, you have to understand that God alone marks your skin. And see, mark your spirit, beg your pardon. And can I be honest with you? The truth of the matter is this. What you call success before God is not necessarily always success. Look, the reward or success in following God's instruction is the obedience. The obedience. Haven't obeyed God. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit telling you something consistently and you're like, no, I don't want to do it. Maybe you had a fight with your neighbor. All right. Some kind of argument. And it's so heavy in your heart. And the Holy Spirit has been prompting you, greet her first down. Anytime you don't, just, you know, finally you did it. And once you did it, and you're like, good morning, sister. I'm like, I'm the one greeting you. Good morning. How are you? I like your hair. Thank you. And you go back to your room, and you're like, it looked like one heavy load left your chest. Has it ever happened to you before? It's the peace of having obeyed God. That is the reward for obedience. And can I be honest with you? Peace with God is worth more than peace with all the world. This is so important. Let me show you, because sometimes we estimate our productivity based on resources. It's never about resources. Look, I don't know why I'm so particular about this. I won't go for that because of time. I have just 6 more minutes. Look, what you need, you need an environment, you need people, community of friends, community of like minds, all right, that you keep pouring faith-filled, inspired, instruction to one another. Look, do you know sometimes if you walk along with godly people so much, just in your mundane conversation, God will be speaking. I wish I have time to show you from Malachi. You see, he says when godly people talk, God speaks. Just show me that video. Let me show you something. Of course, the example of the man I want to use is not really a Christian, but I'm telling you how this thing works. Just watch, 33 seconds. There's no volume. So this was a man that started electric. I don't know if you know electric cars is the in thing now with Tesla. All right. So now they are asking him, how were you able to come up with this idea? Toyota is in Japan. There are big companies that were already existing before you came up with this, your stupid idea. Of how does it even work? Don't forget, this same guy, he wanted to commercialize, traveling into space. The people he called babas, these are people that I read in physics in those days. People like Arnold. These were guys that first went to the space in the U.S. These all people you respected, that they all said it can't work now. He tried it 3 times and failed. Until the 4th time. And he's planning some crazy things. I don't know who sent him. He says he wants us to move to Mars. But now, as crazy... His idea is that, look up, his idea is the way you go for vacation in Hawaii. You go to Dubai for vacation. You can also take your wife after your wedding and say, let's go to the Mars. Now, just to think about it, is that not a crazy idea? But hear what he says. There's no sound. No sound. I wish you can hear what he says. But he says, look, They asked him, the person asked him, he says, how are you able to think about this? What is inspiring you? Now, some people are like, Pastor, why is an example of somebody that is not born again? Look. Leave me alone. Because all the religion you've been following, what has it done to you? See, the Bible says in the book of Romans 1 from verse 19 to 21, it says that from natural things, we can see the invisibility of the invincible God. That means from the way things, when you read Proverbs, don't you see David, Solomon, teaching you wisdom by observing hands, by observing, because look, just leave me. He was asking them, he says, where's the electric car today? He says, with car companies, he says, that look, he says other cars that have large resources, why are they not doing it? And look at what he says. I hope you can read it. He says, well, we have, what is really the constraint is a quantity of resources. It is not the quantity of resources. It is what, look at it. It is, do they have the quality of, is there a small, very talented, focused, dedicated team? Look, it's not about resources. Do you have a community of few dedicated, committed team? Look, if you have a solid, that's why we are bringing up community group. You see, the issue of Barabbas now, we are creating a group already, all right, and I'm going to dedicate myself every week to pour into them. See, look, whatever God is doing, when he shows a prophet, what he instructs is to onboard people whose heart and mind are willing to join in into that chariot of what God is doing at the time. It's not
not finances. Your problem is not resources. You just need a crop, a handful of dedicated thing. That's all you need. So if there's anything I want you to go home with today in first service, because I have to stop here. I have 1 more minute. If there's anything I want you to think of as you're going today, is look. Lesson from Jephthah is this. It makes no difference. Pay attention. The lesson from Jephthah here is simple. It makes no difference how grave odds that are against you are. Like in the case of the reproach of his conception, the fact that his brothers were hostile to him. The truth is, you can still redefine the standard. You can still change the norm. Are you listening to me? Refuse to let your background put your back on the ground. So what Jephthah would do was to leave his toxic brothers, get into a place called Tob, and guess what? Vain men came to him. And like what I have seen consistently in scripture, he began to pour himself into those people. Look, refuse to be fixated by your own present problem. Think about how to bless other people. It's the same thing with Joseph. He was in prison and he began to do what? Interpret other people's dreams. The same thing with David. David came to the cave of Adullam. Guess what? Just like Jephthah, vain men came to him as well. Men that were discontented, poor, broke, and they were in debt. He poured himself into them. He trained them. Like the example I gave you. When you have dirty fingers and you wash your rags, when the rags are clean, you find out your fingers too are clean. In training those people, he also got better in his skills. And he became king. Those men that surrounded him, they became what? The mighty men of David. The same thing with Paul. In Acts 19, he was teaching. Just within 3 and 4 months, divers were added that did not agree with what he was teaching. You know what he did? He took 12 that believed in what he was doing and what believed in him, went to a certain house of Tyrannus, and he began to expand within a few years. And guess what? The next verse tells us, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. So leave toxic environment. You can never be productive in a toxic environment. Next thing is, start sowing your seed of service into others. And can I be honest with you? The greatest investment you can ever make concerning or towards your future is to invest into human capital. Ever wondered why a lot of expired people, X this, X that, all their life they didn't pour into anybody? The only way you can immortalize yourself, look at what Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to other faithful men who shall what? Teach others also. So Paul is thinking about 3 generational transference of truth. The things you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to other faithful men who shall also teach others also. So Paul was thinking about a three generational transference of truth. If you are not multiplying yourself, and like in Africa, we always want to die on something. Somebody wants to be a president and does not want to live. It's just African mentality. I know you didn't see this teaching coming today. I've told you, this year, we are going to be very spiritual, but we'll be very earthly relevant as well. You didn't hear what I said? Because even God that gave you speaking in tongues, in the early church, you will come and speak in tongues. Paul said, look. If you cannot interpret this tongue, keep short. That means if people cannot be edified, go and speak in tongues to yourself. In other words, no matter how highly spiritual a gathering or an exercise or an experience is, if you cannot translate it into something of earthly value, is as much almost useless. Are you following what I'm saying? So I don't want you go home with so much spiritual resource and resources only for you not to be able to, you know, solve little problems that face you. Now, because let me tell you, because some of you are not future thinking. You are still studying microbiology and you are happy. a course that will soon be obsolete. And I don't mean study your course. Study your course. I love it. But listen now. Listen. How many of you, there was a time that people were studying shorthand in school? Is it in existence today again? Once upon a time, there was a, I read on in the news, you know, yesterday night again, that Google is about to shed 12,000 workers again. Look, calm down. There was a time people's job in company were to open doors. Now, most high-rise buildings you go to in Abuja, door open themselves. There was a time that in the days of NHIS, when NHIS began with Obasanjo, my dad, as a government, you know, high government official, all of us, we had card, NHIS. When you go to the hospital, they will bring catalog. They have this catalog of, you know, paper where they will be checking for your name. Now, you go to the hospital, they just, except for backward thinking hospitals that, you know, when you go to the, what's your name? Tam, they don't even ask for your name, they ask for your number. Look, say somebody's is studying. Look. Studying computer and you control, the only thing you know is, you know, the Y, the X. Nobody's going to ask you. Shift X control. A lady in our church, sometime last year came to me and she almost was crying. She said, Pastor, I can't believe, you know, because she has schooled somewhere in the West. She said, I can't believe, Pastor, I went to class. This man spent 2 hours and I wrote just 3 lines. He only dictated 3 lines. I shared with you here last week about my friend who finished from this school. The school is better now. He studied law. Got to law school and found out he hasn't learned nothing. He had to break his sin, start asking, because he will be in class and the lecturer will say, well, jurisprudence, according to this, you know, you have done this. I'm sure you've done this in your BS. Yeah. He said, eh? Yes, we are. That was when he now had to bury himself afresh, attending tutorials. He broke his sim. He lost communication. He told his friend, I don't want to talk to anybody. Because the money for law school, except your parents are rich, you can't come and repeat like a president's daughter that repeated it twice. And later still became NNPC, GMD, board of director. You know, it's a country like this. I don't want to mention it. See, I hope you have your PVC. So, this is how it works. That there are some things that your future... Look, let me tell you, for example, now. As a pastor, if I don't understand the advancements in my environment and how they affect my productivity in ministry in the future, it's going to affect the productivity I will give in the future. You didn't get it. For instance, now, I want to reach the world. With the advent of internet, I can preach podcast and put... Do you know if you have 1 million followers on Instagram, you already have a TV ministry? You don't know. If you have 1 million followers, for example, on Instagram or on YouTube, 1 million followers, YouTube, 1 million followers, you already have a TV ministry. The money you go and pay, because let me ask you, how many of you sit down in front of TVs anymore? How many of you are with your phones? How many of you watch YouTube? Do you get what I'm saying? So now, if I'm not touching base with the advancement in technology in my day, even the so-called destiny that is spiritual will not find expression in the physical. That's the essence of what I'm saying. So for it to be extremely useful, you have to keep abreast of facts. Touch base with your time and day and be able to translate the spiritual signals, instructions into physical reality in the now. All these, I saw myself ascend into the portals and the Holy Ghost just spoke to me and the angel of the Lord put me and he saw cold fire in my hand. Okay, I've heard you. Now, how do you track? And your experience is true. But how do you translate that to having, you know, Gary in your room? To having, because listen, somebody said, well, it doesn't matter, the spiritual that matters. But the same spiritual, the spirit you is clothed. You have to have sense. So, what do you do? That's what I'm sharing with you.
God has done one Ojoro to all of us. Do you know the Ojoro? None of us is sufficient in ourselves. You can only be as much functional in a community of a team with like-mindedness. That's why, I'm sorry to do this, I didn't say this to diss anybody, no pun intended. That's why I feel so sorry for single people. Because even in the Ark of Noah, Let's close church. I'm preaching Bible here. Because even the Ark of Noah, they came in twos. The ones that were single were the ones that died. Rise on your feet, everybody. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand towards heaven and say, Lord, I thank you for my future is secured. Oh, talk to the Lord for just 1 minute. Say, I have the wisdom. I have the insight. I have the community of future thinking, non-toxic associates. Lord, I am helped by you. I walk into divine orchestrated association of like-minded, unity-minded. Some of you, you are hanging around people that hate you. Anybody that hates you, envy you in your heart, in their heart. And when there is envy, look, sometimes, I just heard this. Thank you, Lord. There's a lady here. You are in a relationship. And the thing is, all your desire is to keep that relationship. And you've been praying that you don't want to explain what has been happening. Guess what? The more you pray, the more there seems to be some dissociation between you and the fellow, the guy. And now the guy has given you breakfast, you are angry. Let me tell you something. There's something you don't know. Listen. That's why when we pray in the spirit, we are not praying in our understanding. As you pray in tongues. I'm not talking about when you have character issue and you don't have, that's not what I'm saying. All things are normal. But the more you pray about relationship in tongues, all right, things, the communication, the everything, there's just this small gap. You just get irritated and almost non-interested anymore. Can I be honest with you? Rejoice. God just saved you from a future problem. Many don't know. And that's why, listen, I didn't come to sermonize you today. I came to inspire you. Think about your future. Your future is bright. So now get to the drawing board. God has spoken to you. Get to the drawing board. I have. That's why you must get this tape, part 1 to 4. I've spoken about these things. Write these things down. Let God give you insight. What you need to be praying for is, Lord, light. This is our year of what? Light. Flight by light. You'll be asking for light. Lord, show me. He says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Agar was crying. She was crying with the baby. Agar was there crying. And the baby too was crying. Thank God. God heard the cry of the baby. Then God opened the eyes of Agar to see well. The child was dying, starving of thirst for no water. Meanwhile, all God needed to do was to open her eyes to see the water. No, that scripture says there is plenty in the tillage of the poor. He's poor, but there's plenty in his tillage. He has to see. It is sight that is the issue. Because, can I be honest with you? I didn't plan to take your time, but are we together? Because, can I be honest with you? God has built into every one of us a mechanism of self-sufficiency to meet our physical need in some way. And one of it is to tag along with people of like-minded. Secondly, is to understand How that by the Spirit of God, you can translate certain, you know, inclinations, zeals, and abilities embedded in you. Getting them monetized, but first fine-tuning them and monetizing them to feed you. Even nature tells you that. That's why you can find conifers. You can find, you know, xerophytes in the desert because they have a long taproot to touch the table water. It's the reason why you can see mud fish. They can hibernate for 6 months, even though fish were supposed to survive in water. Mud fish has been designed, the scales have been designed to conserve water. That's why you can see polar bear with so much fur because it's living in the polar region where it's extremely cold. It can conserve heat and not get extremely iced and die. So they can exist and survive in the ice region. God has inbuilt into everything. There's a particular cockroach called Petroleum bilope. As hot, deep inside the sea, petroleum is, that cockroach still subsists in that place. As hot, these are not 1,000 degrees Celsius. We're talking about tens of thousands of degrees Celsius, and it can still survive, a cockroach. It has been wired that way. Science calls it adaptability, but you see, can I be honest with you? It just proves positive that wired in the fabric of nature is some degree of self-sufficiency, which is both intra and interconnected with others. Stop saying you don't look. There is no excuse for a lady, for example, to be doing hookup. There is something in you you have not discovered that should fetch you money. Some things you have to sharpen. Get courses on Coursera. Go to online. Improve yourself. The future belongs to those that are extremely useful. And people will pay extra dollar for any additional value you are adding to their lives. So don't be fixated on some people. They are just coming to school. School is not passing through them. Listen, look, you need this degree just for formality. Just for formality. In fact, if your degree gets you your first job, that's about all it can do. Now, I was talking to a lady, I think she's here now, all right? She told me that she only came to school to get a degree. She was already having her own store in Abuja where she sells lingerie. And I asked her, what's the reason behind the lingerie? Why will you be selling lingerie? She just felt like, look, our own way of contributing to how she sees men looking after other ladies even though they are married. And look, I have experienced that firsthand before. The family I stayed when I first came to Abuja, the lady came to me, Pastor, my husband is not touching me for 8 months. I said, what happened? She said, it looked like, I don't know whether he's demonic. As I pray, I didn't see any demon. I have to teach her, look, change the light in your room. Start smelling nice, not tying wrapper. Are you following what I'm saying? Look, look, look. Because even the wisdom you are praying for from God, you could be Moses, heavily anointed, yet God will have to send your father-in-law to you. That will tell you, you will soon die if you don't delegate. Are you following what I'm saying? You could be as anointed as Moses, and yet you could have ended your own life doing the right thing, doing ministry. If a Jethro did not come to tell you, only you are pastoring 3.5 million people, you will die, You have just written your death sentence. And then you will now begin to teach him how to delegate. You see, because all the information in my language, they said, Ogbon itanla yeka wa lorun. All the wisdom you need is on earth. All the resources you need is in the hand of some other persons. And when you say, nations will come to the writings of my writing, you know, I will arise. Like, look, look, look. I hope you know, when you say the word of the Gentiles will be converted to me, I hope you know, you will not carry gun to steal from people. You have to solve a problem. That's why there is a Christianity that is fast growing in our community, in our nation, that lives or circumvents process. All through scripture, primary way in which God blesses people is through the works of their hands. So you find people who are praying for miracle money, and do you know what? Even when miracle money comes and nothing multiplies it, look, in no time, it will be exhausted. I hope I've been able to touch some things in your mind today. The future belongs to those that are extremely useful. And usefulness is actually relative to the context of the day and time we live in. Once upon a time, if you want to shoot a movie from up, from aerial view, you need a helicopter. That means you need a pilot. You employ a pilot. You saw those Okogan movies those days. Now you saw all those, you know, even all this 007. You saw all those movies those days. But now, they act movie in the tallest building in Dubai. All they use now is just drone. So that means the pilot has lost his job. The man producing helicopter lost his job. Are you following what I'm saying? Drone has replaced them. I saw one recently, and I pray against that one anyway. Somebody shared it on how that you can just, you don't, although that one will increase ungodliness, but again, it won't, because the debate was, I told the person, I said, this one won't, because what, that's why, do you know one thing I noticed? At the end of the day, the true purpose of everything on earth, the more we advance, the more those truthfulness come to light. Let me give you an instance. Those who marry for just having babies, now that technology is out now that you don't have to marry, there is a machine that will help you carry the baby in the machine womb. All the nutrients the child needs to be supplied. So the very purpose of marriage that God created, we are going back to it, which is for what? Companionship. And all those other childbearing. So the African Otupo man that says, hey, you give me a baby girl. No. I look for another man. He's a mumu. So now, people like that, they will remain in the Stone Age. And they will remain backward. So, are you following what I'm saying, church? I'm telling you the relevance of times and seasons, times and the age we live in, and now you can be relevant and be useful in the context of your... We're talking about futuring. This is so important. So important.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website, www.cornerstoneglobal.org. Or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.